It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Greetings to everyone in Santa Fe and beyond. I welcome you to your regular Sunday afternoon helping of all things real estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today, with commentary from my in-studio guest, we'll be examining an interesting real estate phenomenon, specifically the elements of an estate sale, and why it is something that you probably need to know a little bit about. Of course, we invite you to join the dialogue today here on Talk 1260 KTRC by emailing me, Ray Post, your questions and comments, and sending them to rpost@sfrp.com. And with the beginning of spring, if you're considering renovation, repair, and design activities around your own home, I suggest that you seek help by checking out the real estate resource companies on our website. Simply go to www.sfrp.com, click on the radio tower icon, and look for the list of these partners of the All Things Real Estate radio show. I also want to invite you to help kids in our community and have some fun along the way by being part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake 2010 campaign, which is actually being held at the Strike Gold Lanes in Pewaukee this and next weekend. For more information on the Bowl for Kids' Sake, call 983-8360. That's 983-8360. I also want to thank all the folks who joined us last Sunday for the inaugural broadcast in 2010 of All Things Real Estate, which we staged from the deck of the Bavarian Restaurant located off of Route 150 in the Taos Ski Valley. We had a lot of fun watching skiers, interviewing Taos celebrities, and giving away terrific raffle prizes for those who toured the award-winning Bavarian Chalets. Now, for anyone who heard the show but couldn't make it up to Taos to tour these terrific chalets, please call for more information on the properties at 690-0900. That's 690-0900. That'll take you right to my colleague, Julie Brooke, who is actually offering these fabulous chalets. Now, we had a big crowd of people who saw the chalets and expressed just how nice the properties are as vacation homes. We have a bunch of remote broadcasts of the show that we're going to be booking through the fall, so stay tuned for information about future events and come join me in person. I'd love to meet you. So let's get right into the show with a couple of minutes of State of the Market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Andrew, I believe that you're going to be addressing how a reverse mortgage can actually be part of one's own estate planning. Good afternoon.
Indeed. Hi, Ray. Last week, I spoke about purchasing a new home with a reverse mortgage. This week, as part of the theme of the day, I thought I'd mention the use of reverse mortgage for estate planning. The real name of a reverse mortgage is Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, HECM, and it's intended to be just that, a way to get equity out of one's primary residence. A lot of times, seniors, people over the age of 62, have paid down or paid off their mortgages and are sitting there with a lot of equity in the home. To qualify, one spouse need only be at least 62 years old, and the rest is easy. In a reverse, the lender is giving you money for your estate planning. The amount that they give you is based upon the appraised value of the house, less any liens or loans or mortgages, and is capped at $625,000, and that was raised from 417 this year. The older you are, the more money you get. The quick explanation of how it works is you can either take equity in your home in four ways: as a lump sum, as a line of credit, as a monthly payment for either a fixed period of time or for life. There are many ways this can work into your estate planning. The scheduled monthly payments can be used to pay for an annuity or to pay for life insurance. The lump sum can be put into the estate as an earning asset. The bonus is that there's no mortgage payment for the rest of the borrower's time in that home, thus preserving the existing assets. The heirs will ask about the reduction in equity in the home. And that's a valid question. Depending on the loan and the market growth rate and the value of the house, but even at a modest growth rate, the equity remains stable for 5 to 7 years before the accumulation of interest to the loan balance starts to erode the equity. On the other hand, the lack of mortgage payment maintains the equity of the borrower's asset account. So if you were paying $2,000 a month or $24,000 a year, you'd have to take that away from the assets that you had invested. In any case, the home stays in the estate and can either be sold or refinanced upon the passing of the last surviving parent. It does assure that the borrowers will be able to stay in the house for the rest of their lives and that there is peace of mind. Reverse mortgages certainly aren't magic, but they are very, very useful in estate planning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe the message sort of tying into our general theme today of estate planning, estate sales and the like, is that reverse mortgages do have tax consequences, or they would possibly have tax consequences affecting the eligibility for assistance under federal and state programs. And so the important thing, I think you would agree with this, Andrew, is to carefully work with your
Absolutely.
Mortgage broker and perhaps your estate planning specialist before you actually enter into it, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
I'm not a tax specialist, and I really always tell my clients to talk to their lawyers or accountants about before they go into a reverse mortgage.
Excellent. Well, as always, terrific counsel from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. We will talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, shifting gears, I'd like to welcome Stephen Etrey, who is the co-owner of Stephen's A Consignment Gallery, a locally owned and well-known institution in Santa Fe with more than 28 years of experience offering quality antiques, furniture, art, estate items, and accessories. Now, besides offering these unique items for purchase, Stephen's A Consignment Gallery provides estate sale and art appraisal services. And today we're actually going to be drilling down and calling upon Stephen Etrey and his vast experience to break down the elements of an estate sale, as well as why being aware of this phenomenon can potentially be important to your own future real estate activities. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Thanks, Ray. Good morning.
It's nice to have you here, as always. And I guess maybe, I'm going to save the little tease here about your own estate sales that are on
the horizon.
Let's get right into mm-hmm. it. Why don't you define what an estate sale is and how it maybe differentiates itself from other opportunities for people
sure.
to buy items? Go ahead.
Well, I think everybody out there listening is probably well aware of yard sales and house sales and such. Estate sales generally are reserved for the circumstances in which the majority of the items within a residence are going to become available and need to be liquidated. Usually this is a result of the closing of a house, whether it's a second home or a guest home or et cetera, or whether there's a passing of the surviving member of that household, and there's a necessity to liquidate the majority of what's in the house. Now, certainly, families, I always suggest to folks that anything that's in the house or any antiques or heirlooms or things that belong to family, if at all possible, should stay with family. There are times where that is possible, and there are other times where that isn't. I mean, certainly it's a sad situation when someone passes on and they're the end of the line. But that does happen. We have a situation in Los Alamos where that's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And what I want to interject, too, is I guess people most of the time when they think of an estate sale or hear about it, they associate it with the passing away of someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is a vehicle for people that are maybe going through, unfortunately, a divorce
right.
or even a bankruptcy. And
right.
I don't know how many of those kinds of circumstances rise to the occasion that you work on. I suspect most of them mm-hmm. are when someone passes away, right?
Well, the majority are, but that's not all we deal with. You know, we deal with we have another sale that will be coming up that's a result of the fellow who's a surviving spouse decided that he's going to downsize dramatically because it's just him now. And so he is having us liquidate everything excepting about three items in the home. That's a very large home, about 4,200 square feet with fabulous design and furnishing. So everybody has every sale is unique. I mean, there are certain characteristics that run common throughout all, mm-hmm. and that is that they have merchandise in them and that there's a need to sell it in an expeditious way, mm-hmm. And not move it around from one store to another.
Okay.
But the majority, again, is probably deceased, but we certainly have been hired to handle other circumstances.
And we've got about a minute and a half here before we need to take a break, so we've got several different mm-hmm. elements. We want, again, continue to drill down, define what it is. You've given the anatomy of what an estate sale is. I suppose the natural question that someone might have is, well, what is the criteria for determining mm-hmm. whether this is an estate sale or the difference between that and a garage mm-hmm. sale, a tag sale? I mean, define that.
Well, I mean, everybody who in my industry operates somewhat differently, but for us at Stevens, the way we operate is first we want to do an assessment. They're free of charge. We go out, we look at, first we'll talk to somebody on the phone to really determine whether what they're asking of us is what they really need. Many times I'll get, particularly after a show like this or some advertising, I get lots of phone calls of people
sure.
saying, oh, I need an estate sale. And once you get into a conversation with them, you find out what they really need is for me to give them some prices on consignment, because mm-hmm. they really don't have a need for us to go into the house and sell what's in the house. Or what they have in the house or the amount that they have in the house remaining after they have moved out what they're going to keep.
Mm-hmm.
The residual is just not of the quality or of the volume mm-hmm. that we need mm-hmm. to conduct a successful estate sale
on
site.
And I think that's an important thing. I can say this is that your goal with an estate sale is to move almost everything out as a result of that action that you're taking. Mm-hmm. But also, too, estate sales are sort of at the highest level of this kind of merchandise.
Yeah, and we need to be careful about the idea of moving it out just for the sake of moving it out. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a retail consignment facility, we have a back door. At the end of the sale, if the merchandise hasn't sold, if the items haven't sold at what I consider to be an appropriate pricing, then we simply move it to the gallery on an estate, mm-hmm. I mean, on a consignment basis.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just, it's not a dumping of assets.
Sure.
It's not a stress liquidation.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, I should clarify, I didn't mean just moving it out for the sake of it. I meant that the goal is hopefully to be able to have a successful sale of most of the items
mm-hmm.
in it. I'll tell you what, Stephen Etri here on All Things Real Estate, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue to define the anatomy of an estate sale. And also, Stephen is going to talk about three estate sales that he has upcoming. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Names and numbers.
Talk 1260 KTRC. Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is indeed Ray Post, and today I have Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stephens and Consignment Gallery, as my in-studio guest. Before we go back into our conversation, I want to encourage you to check out some of the featured homes offered this week by Santa Fe Realty Partners in our full-page ad. In today's Santa Fe, New Mexican, you'll find information on properties in the northwest side of town, as well as in Aldea and Las Campanas. And there are lots of very pretty pictures of these properties today, so I encourage you to check that out. You can go to our website, www.sfrp.com, for more information or, again, take a look at that full-page ad in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. So back to Stephen Etri. Stephen, we defined in the last segment what an estate sale is all about, and we're starting to pull together all the different aspects associated with it. I guess one question I have, well, actually before I do that, though, is mm-hmm. I tease the listeners in the last segment. You have three estate sales coming
up.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, you know, and as many things in life, they come in batches. We have an estate sale up in Los Alamos that we'll be conducting on April the 24th, that's Saturday. All of these sales are going to be a one-day sale. Some of our sales are 2 days, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
These sales, because of the nature of them, you know, every sale is different, and we have to determine how much time we spend. What's the most effective way of merchant marketing the items.
Right.
So this is a Saturday sale. It's April the 24th up in Los Alamos, and it's a kind of more modernist. It's mostly mid-century modern and Tema-style contemporary furnishings. Although within that estate, you know, there's automobiles. There's unbelievably great condition automobiles and a driving RV,
mm-hmm.
All with unbelievable low mileage. So we handle it all. I mean, everything
right.
from the items in the house to the items outside the house, including all the automobiles.
Now, I know you, just to go back to this, and you have two more that you want to talk about as well.
We do.
But why don't you talk about them, and then I'll ask you the general question. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just get very quickly. May the 1st, we'll be having one here in Santa Fe, and that was, I was referring to earlier, a gentleman that he's decided to go to a much smaller house now that his wife has passed on, and he has asked us to liquidate everything in it, and things were brought in from all over the country, purchased at Bloomingdale's and at Saks and Scully & Scully, and just super high quality contemporary furnishes as well as antiques. And then on May the 15th, a week after our annual spring sale, which is the 8th and 9th of May, we'll be conducting another in the North Hills area, and that one's filled with mostly early American antiques.
And I guess, as we talked about in the green room before the show, is that you don't like to give out a lot of advance information about the location of these things for a variety of reasons. But if someone said, gosh, that piques my interest, how can they find out more about all three of these events?
Well, what they can do is contact us at the gallery through our email address, which is stevensconsignments@zianet.com, or they can go to our website, which is stevensconsignments.com.
Okay. And on there you'll be posting information when it becomes timely about the where and time and everything. Because I know you have a big
pictures as well.
And you have a big – you do, really. That's great. You have a big following of people that look forward to your estate
sales. Absolutely.
Sales.
We've got over – we get close to 3,000 people that have contacted us requested to be on our mailing list to be notified.
Wow. That's extraordinary. Well, that begs a question, something I was going to ask you just before we started the summary of the sales. How do you actually get your clients?
Well, numerous. We're very fortunate because we've been around doing this for so long. We have a very good reputation and a loyal following from the customers out there. So word of mouth is the greatest. But generally, the professionals in town that deal with estates, so that's being attorneys, trust officers, banks, personal representatives, word of mouth, as well as realtors who refer us. And we'll go out and do that free assessment, and that's how we get started.
Yeah, I know there are quite a few of my colleagues in the real estate industry that call upon you on a regular basis. Word of mouth is the king, though, on this. Basically there are a lot of different avenues for securing the clients. Let's go back a little bit to, just in a minute before we need to do another segment here, let's start to define what the process is. Okay, we now know what an estate sale is, so what do you do?
Okay, so we go out, we do that free assessment. I ascertain whether there's enough volume in the sale to warrant us doing an on-site sale. Generally, you want to do an on-site sale, particularly if it's it's a house that's been lived in for quite a period of time where everybody accumulates quite a bit of stuff. And a lot of that is not what we generally handle within the gallery on a consignment basis.
Mm-hmm.
But it is saleable. So you want to balance what's in the house, those type of items that one would generally say would be thrown out front in the yard for a yard sale, to kind of move those along and maximize the sale of the better items in the household.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the sale, we'll get to that. We have options for those items that haven't sold. But once we get into the house, we really get a feel for the amount and value of what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've determined the value is what we want to work with, then we go ahead. We have a very, very simple agreement with our customers, and that agreement sets forth what they can expect of us. Generally, our commission is anywhere from 1/3 to 50%, depending on how much work is going to be involved.
Uh-huh.
We've been in estate sales where we've actually had to bring in dumpsters to get to the items that are saleable.
Uh-huh.
That's much more costly, therefore the commission is higher. Generally, 90% of the time, it's a 1/3, 2/3 split. We get 1/3, customer gets 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
We handle all the expenses for that 1/3.
I see.
The way the process works is once we get into the house, we have an agreement, we go in and we start pulling items out of everywhere because we want to find out what's there. Sale we did in the past, we found sterling pieces, Tiffany sterling set, with pieces in four different rooms.
Wow.
So in the process of pulling things out to see what we have in market and merchandise it, we were able to pull together what looked like an incomplete set into a very nice set.
Mm-hmm.
So once the items are pulled out and they're displayed properly, they're set out on tables, we bring in our folding tables, we bring in all of our equipment and et cetera, then the process moves forward of pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I go in with a crew of my staff and we price everything in the house.
Mm-hmm.
as well as outside the house, as well as in the garage, as well as the vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, why don't you hold that thought, because I want to, again, get into more of the process thing. Also, too, something that is important, because this requires you being very sensitive to it, the emotions associated mm-hmm. with the estate sale. So we'll talk about that on the backside. But you know what, Gino Thompson, that we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. Now, this week, attorney Melanie McGilvery outlines how your estate plan can impact your real estate holdings. I think everybody are getting sort of an idea. We have a theme going on here today. Anyway, specifically, Melanie will summarize the importance of selecting how you own real estate so as to avoid unintended consequences upon your death, as well as having the proper estate planning documents in place in the event of your incapacity so you can effectively deal with the sale or purchase of real estate. No matter the type of deed you receive from a seller when you actually purchase property, you must carefully consider how you actually take title in that property, especially when you co-own that real estate with one or more other persons. Real estate owned by two or more individuals as joint tenants with rights of survivorship allows for automatic transfer of the real estate to the surviving joint tenant. Joint tenancy allows for avoidance of probate. However, any real estate held in joint tenancy will not pass to the heirs of the deceased owner in accordance with your will. Because of this reality, disputes, including litigation, are often common between the estate of the original owner and their surviving joint tenant. Issues such as whether the survivor's name was added to a will as a matter of convenience and or management, or whether a gift was intended, are common in these situations. Thus, the planning built into a well-drawn-up will may be partially or completely thwarted by an inadvertently created joint tenancy that passes property to a beneficiary by operation of law rather than under the terms of the will. Real estate titled in the name of the deceased person or as tenants in common or husband and wife cannot be transferred without the court appointment of a personal representative who has the legal authority to act. If your own property is a tenant in common, it is critical that you have a last will and testament in place. Now, in New Mexico, a personal representative appointed by the court has legal authority to sell real estate and can transfer it to a new owner from the real estate of the deceased person. In a different set of circumstances, and as we've discussed on this show on previous occasions, if you have an estate planning trust, your real estate deed should reflect that the trust is the actual owner of the property. Also, under this scenario, it's important to determine whether transferring title to any real estate triggers a due-on-sale clause in your mortgage or your deed of trust, allowing for a lender to immediately call for payment of your entire loan. Finally, a durable power of attorney is a critical component in any real estate plan. This document gives someone the power to act on your behalf, and it may take effect immediately or only upon your incapacity. In the event of your incapacity, your loved ones may need to sell or buy real estate on your behalf, and without the durable power of attorney, their hands will be tied and they could be entangled in time-consuming and expensive litigation. Thanks once again to attorney Melanie McGilvery for some good tips on how your estate plan can impact your real estate assets upon your death or incapacity. If you have your own legal questions regarding estate planning, please go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. We're running long here. Gino, let's take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Stephen Etrie of Stevens & Consignment Gallery. Okay, welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today we are talking about the anatomy of an estate sale. Before we go back into our conversation, I want to remind you that I always tell my clients that they should be thoughtful in their choice of a realtor, a lender, or other real estate professionals to work with, and you should be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. My top recommendation, well, of course, it's Fidelity National Title Insurance Company. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach, and they are customizing their services to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises, so choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist you with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-989-8900 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That email address is santafe@fnf.com. A shout out to my good friend Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe area manager of Fidelity National Title. We'll be seeing you on the show next week. So anyway, back to my conversation. I have Stephen Etri of Stevens and Consignment Gallery with me here in the studio today, but I want to actually take a moment here to welcome Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design to the show. Annie is well known throughout New Mexico and beyond and offers a wide range of professional interior design services to her clients. Today, as part of her regular interior design call-in commentary, Annie is staying with our theme today and is going to give us some tips on how you can get your house ready for sale, perhaps as an estate sale, which dovetails nicely with my in-studio conversation with Stephen Etri. So welcome to the show, Annie. How are you?
Great, Ray. Thank you.
Go ahead. You've got the floor, my friend.
Well, I was listening to Stephen, and I have had firsthand experience with him. I had a client of mine who had a house and moved here from Hawaii, had the house for probably 4 years, and bought a new residence, and that's when I stepped in with him. And, you know, we space planned his house, figured out which pieces would work, and didn't really know what to do with the things he had because the quality was very high.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to just do, you know, a quick sale.
Right.
So we called Stephen, and he came in and did an assessment, and it wasn't enough. We didn't have enough to do an estate sale, but he did take his pieces to the gallery
uh-huh.
on consignment, and they moved quickly.
Wow.
And it was just a perfect niche because I do have a lot of people moving here either permanently or second homes that have things and really hesitate to get rid of them because they've spent a lot of money on them. And it's just sort of a perfect niche, I think, the gallery.
Well, we've got a love fest going on here. Stephen Etri, did you hear he's
thank
thanking
you so much.
Anyway,
very kind words.
That's I think maybe that's emblematic, too, Annie, of how well this community, real estate brokers, interior designers like yourself and gallery owners like Stephen Etri can work together on these kinds of what are emotional occasions. But let's go back to you. So your general tips. Let's assume that Stephen has a client and maybe not, but someone wants to get their house ready for sale. What are your interior design tips to them, whether it's an estate sale or not?
I think the first thing is that I think people have to really see themselves in your home. And when we are working with new clients on either new construction or new homes, we always do our space planning first, our furniture planning, so we know exactly how the house will flow. It really gives people a sense of seeing themselves in the space.
Uh-huh.
So we always talk to people when they're looking at reselling their house at editing what they have. But I think that's a big subject. How do you do that? Because when you're in your space, you see it one way. So I do think having another fresh set of eyes to come in is very helpful.
Yes.
I also think that in the gallery, there's a lot of furniture, and I think you have to really have an eye and say, how could this be refinished? How could I change this? What base could I put on it? What top could I put on it? You know, there's a lot of things that you can do with furniture that you might see at a store at Stevens Consignment.
Mm-hmm. And going back to something you just said here, one of the biggest challenges that we have as real estate brokers is getting our clients to stand back and to really look critically at their own home. And I know that you as an interior designer, you're very, very good at this, Annie. You know how to go in and make someone feel good about what they have, but also the balloon coming out of your head is, my gosh, we got to do something here to change this layout. Otherwise, this house is probably not going to sell. I mean, you encounter that all the time, I'm sure.
Well, I do, and I think, again, it's because if you live in a space, you see it one way. So I think having a fresh eye, whether it's an interior designer or if there's too much furniture, having someone like Stephen come in, or a combination in this situation with my client, that's what it was, a combination. It was my, it was me, and it was, and it was Stephen that came in, and with the client, of course, we all decided kind of which pieces should go. I happen to have a very open-minded client,
mm-hmm.
so that was very helpful. That's important, mm-hmm. because I know that, that people are attached to their things. I completely understand that.
Sure.
And there's just a way of editing and moving things around that can re-energize a space,
mm-hmm.
and that can leave an opening so that when there's a potential buyer, they can see, I can see myself in this room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, there's many other things, from painting and using some of the colors that we talked about in the newsletter with the feng shui colors and
right.
what should be used, you know, how to just kind of refresh, recover, refinish things that they already own.
Right, and Annie's referring, just for the listener's sake, a very well-written article that she offered to us in the last newsletter. Again, Santa Fe Realty Partners has a monthly newsletter, and I invite you to go to our website, www.sfrp.com, and sign up for that free newsletter, and then you'll be able to read commentary from Annie O'Carroll. And I'm going to get Stephen Etri to write an article, too, one of these days when he has time.
He will.
He's so busy. Anyway, so getting the house ready for showing, you alluded to it, colors, recovering, refinishing furniture. Any last thoughts you want to leave with the listeners, Annie, before we sign off here?
Oh, I think it's really just really picturing yourself in the space. And, again, it applies to people moving into new spaces or people leaving spaces and reselling or looking for new spaces. I think that there's a feeling, there's an emotion that come over people, and it's a connection, and I think you can't underplay that enough.
Well, as always, excellent commentary. This is Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design, one of the supporters, partners of All Things Real Estate. If you're interested in talking to Annie, you can go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio tower icon. That'll take you right to the radio show page. And right there prominently is Annie O'Carroll's logo with all of her contact information. Annie, hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Are you and Miles going out somewhere fun?
Oh, we went for a little hike this morning. It was great.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah, very beautiful today.
Well, listen, we'll have you back on the show in another couple of weeks. And as always, thank you for your commentary.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Back to Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stephen's A Consignment Gallery. That was a nice little segment.
It sure was.
And she worked with somebody that, mm-hmm. you know, and sort of points out, once again, you've got some upcoming estate sales. Again, one in Los Alamos on the 24th of April, one in Santa Fe on the 1st of May,
mm-hmm.
and then one on the 15th of May in the North Hills area of Santa Fe. But before we go back to our conversation, I also want to plug that you've got a two-day semi-annual sale
right.
coming up, and that's
mm-hmm.
on the 8th and 9th of May, and that's at the
that's
gallery.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that, Stephen.
Well, quickly, so we don't get diverted too far, I fondly say, for those folks who recall a filings bargain basement sale in Boston, the lines start early. I have been told, and I say with some with pride and a little embarrassment, that we have become an institution, and our sales have as well.
Absolutely.
And we run two sales a year. They have real sales. Not come-ons. Everything in the gallery is marked down 30% to 50%.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it's a real sale, and it happens just twice a year, 2 days. And our next one will be our spring sale, our Mother's Day sale,
mm-hmm.
and that will be the Saturday the 8th from 9 to 6, and on Sunday the 9th from noon till 6.
What a terrific way of celebrating Mother's Day. Go to Stephen's
it
gallery.
Is. People have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say, too, that Stephen has very kindly asked me to do a remote broadcast
mm-hmm.
of All Things Real Estate from his fall sale
right.
in October, which we're very much looking forward to. Tell you what, Gino, we've got about 3 minutes here, I guess. So we've got 3 minutes, Stephen, to
okay.
sort of talk about things. Let's go back to one thing that I mm-hmm. teased the listeners about, and that is, not only do you have to be a professional in what you do, but you also have to be sort of a counselor, because with an estate sale, there's emotions.
Yeah, you know, and it's very understandable. And while many people will say to me, oh, I'm over it, I'm ready to move on, I need to do this, I understand, there is still a residual emotional connection. I don't care how disciplined somebody may believe they are. We really handle people's items that are in their house and the environment with a lot of respect for the folks who live there, whether it's a deceased family member or whether it's somebody that is just moving on for whatever circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring into play a previous profession of being a social worker each time I deal with this. And we actually have in our agreement that customers are not to be on the premise during the pricing or the sale. And it's pretty important that we have an understanding about that because of many reasons, least of which is customers, while they may not believe it, they still carry a lot of energy and emotion with them just
sure.
by stepping into a sale.
Of course.
And that can affect the success of the sale.
Right. Well, it's analogous to what we do when we have an open house for a seller. We don't want them to be around there.
Sure.
Not that we don't appreciate their counsel, but we don't need the editorial comments coming from mm-hmm. them to buyers. Also, buyers sometimes want to be free of all the other
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've received several emails, actually, Steve. Uh-huh. I hope we have a chance to get through a couple of them. We've got about a minute here before we have to take a break. Hi, Ray. My father passed away last year. My mother lives in assisted living. Should I have my real estate broker work with the gallery, Stevens Gallery, to prepare for the inevitable need to stage an estate sale?
Absolutely. And they don't even have to have the realtor. I mean, certainly realtors can be the point person
mm-hmm.
if that's a request. I would just suggest to the person.
It's Lucy, I'm sorry.
To Lucy,
mm-hmm.
Just contact us directly at the gallery at 471-0802, and we'll set up a time to go do that free assessment and let you know and give you some recommendations as to how to move forward. We've handled hundreds of these.
And we've got about 30 seconds here before we take a break. One issue that this sort of leads me to is the importance for confidentiality. Talk
Absolutely.
A little bit about that.
Well, you know, for security reasons as well as confidentiality, we don't reveal the location, the exact address, generally until days before the sale
mm-hmm.
Because of security reasons. As far as confidentiality, our customers can count on that. When we feel that utilizing the name of the customer would be beneficial to the success of the sale,
sure.
then we ascertain permission to do so, to use the names.
Yeah, that raises a good point. Sometimes you've got a marquee kind of name,
Absolutely.
And that helps drive people
yeah,
to
Yeah, we did a sale last summer of a major collection in Santa Fe, and by you being able to utilize the name, people who had been in the house knew of the collection, knew of these people, this couple's generosity to museums and foundations throughout the country. They were very interested in seeing what they actually had in the house.
Sure.
It made it very successful.
Right.
But we did ascertain the permission to use the name.
You
and we will
have
never,
yeah.
ever go ahead and reveal the name of the customer without their permission.
Well, I'm going to reveal the name here. I have Stephen Etrie of Stevens & Consignment.
You have my permission.
On the show with me today, tell you what, Gino Thompson, my producer, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we will continue our conversation about the anatomy of an estate sale. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and by the sound of that music, you know that we are up to our regular weekly Open House of the Week segment. Today I have a special colleague with me. I have Jane Hilprand. Jane is a longtime real estate broker from Arizona who joined Santa Fe Realty Partners, a while ago, and recently got her New Mexico broker's license. So she has joined the fray with all the rest of us. But just as importantly, Jane is actually behind the scenes coordinating the Open House of the Week segment for this show every single week. Jane, I'm delighted to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Ray. It is so great to be on the show with you.
Well, finally. We talk every single day, and you're coordinating this for all of our other brokers. But today you're sitting on 559 Camino del Monte Sol, and I'm not going to give you any special consideration, my friend. You've got 2 minutes to sell that house. Go.
Okay. I am at the most beautiful house on Camino del Monte Sol, which to me is one of the prettiest streets in all of Santa Fe. It's right in the middle of the historic east side. This house has half an acre, which is really considerable in this area. When you walk in, the very first thing you notice is how light and open it is, and your eyes go right out to the beautiful views. So really gorgeous views. I can't wait for the trees to start budding. It's going to be even more lovely. Those same views continue on into the master bedroom. There are 3 bedrooms and 3 full baths, and this house also has an office, and the office has a full bath and closet. It has brick floors and a massive fireplace, wood-burning fireplace. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago I was sitting this open, and the daughters of the man who built the house came in.
Wow.
And they had so many memories of when he was building it, and they remembered where he went out in the woods to cut down the tree
okay.
for the for the wood-beam mantle. It was really, really sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
Boy, the house also has a lovely family room right off of the kitchen. I can really see a family sitting and enjoying that room. The French doors lead out to a really pretty side outside area. And then there's a full basement. And the basement has one bedroom, one bath, and another room. So there's so much potential to this house. You could have a home office or a studio, or you could make that guest quarters. And that goes, there's even a spiral staircase, and the owner's children used to sleep out on the roof in the summer. I'm sure it was heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
It's priced really, really well now at $995 for 3,500 square feet on Camino del Monte Sol. It's a really excellent deal. It's very easy to find. You just head out towards El Farol and then turn at Camino del Monte Sol and see my sign.
Oh, excellent. Well, I can tell that you're not very enthusiastic about this property. So that, anyway, no, I'm delighted to hear about this property. It sounds spectacular. I encourage everybody to show up today. Jane's going to be there, I believe, from 1 to 4, right?
That's right. And one more thing, Ray.
Yes,
for the first person who mentions this,
yes,
I have a free gift certificate for dinner for two at Maria's Restaurant.
Oh, that's great. So if someone's listening, you better show up because you got a gift certificate waiting for you. The first person that steps through the door and says that they heard about this on the show today from Jane Hiltbrand. Jane, listen, thanks so much. Good luck this afternoon. I hope you sell the property.
I will. Thank you, Ray.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, back to Stephen Etree. Stephen's a consignment gallery. We've been talking about the anatomy of a estate sale today. And I guess maybe a couple of concluding remarks here. Oh, we got about 4 or 5 minutes, I guess. You know, about 5 minutes. Okay. That's a lifetime in radio. You know that, Stephen.
It's amazing how we fill the time.
Well, we do, and it's never, we never have enough time. But let's go through again. We're up to the stage of basically defining the process. Let's go right to the issue of pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
What we do, you know, nobody, we don't know the answers and the pricing of everything. And anybody that suggests they do, I would suggest you just run far and fast. We run into sometimes, in every sale, we definitely run into something that is new to us or that we don't have quite the pulse of the market on. While we're very good about being able to, because we do have a retail consignment gallery, we really do have a good feel for what the value is of items. Every once in a while, you run into something you have to research, and we certainly do our due diligence on behalf of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great search engines that we can use that are online. Years past, it was a library. Now it's the internet library that we use. So when we get into a house and we're pricing, we make sure that we are pricing those items in a manner that that really has our customers' interest.
Mm-hmm.
Moving through the process from pricing, right, at the day of the sale, moving up to the day of the sale, concurrently with doing all the prep work, we're running our marketing and our promotions where we're advertising in the New Mexican, usually under estate sales, and they can see our logo. It generally says Stevens Estate Services on the logo. And we have our 3,000-member email list that's a direct early notification of upcoming sales. As well as, and if anybody wants to get on that, they just contact the gallery and we'll get them signed up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also put together flyers that we distribute through our retail facility.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a bit of advertising goes out, least not without a lot of power. We were talking earlier about signage.
Right.
Most of my customers who have been shopping us for years recognize our canary yellow and blue lettered signs that
sure.
say Stevens Estate Services on them, estate sale today,
mm-hmm.
with the directions, the arrows pointing. And we generally move people, traffic with these signs from major arterials to the location of
mm-hmm.
where we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very powerful tool in my business.
Mm-hmm.
The day of the sale, generally there's a good lineup of people prior to us opening. Depending on the quality of the sale, people start lining up 3 hours before.
Wow.
Then we open the doors. If it's an issue of space and volume of people, we generally let the first 30 or 50 people through. let the building kind of absorb and digest that amount of people and let more people in slowly but surely so it can be operated in a safe manner.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the conclusion of the sale, what we do and what we offer is that those items that are agreeable to the consignor, we take back to the gallery on a retail consignment basis.
Uh-huh.
And that gets inventoried and it's just rolled into a retail consignment relationship.
Uh-huh.
Those items that we do not handle, we make the arrangements to have a local thrift store come by, pick up, I inventory the items that are being donated, I generate the donation receipt and valuation such that they don't have any problem with the tax problems with the IRS. It's all deductible.
Uh-huh.
And then inevitably, after the donation people have come through, there is what we call as the dump run.
Right.
If they didn't take it, then the next stop is the dump.
Mm.
And we can arrange for that. That's not generally part of our services, but we do and have arranged for trash hauling to the dump. And we have and do. It's not part of our services, but we can also arrange for the house to be cleaned.
Mm. A very comprehensive summary of start to finish what an estate sale is all about. In this last remaining minute, I'm going to take your minute just to pump back to the listeners that there are three estate sales that Stevens at Consignment Gallery is doing. One is on the 24th of April in Los Alamos. One is on the 1st of May in Santa Fe. And another one in the North Hills area of Santa Fe on the 15th of May. Again, for any information on this, go to Stevens a Consignment Gallery, either on their website or in the gallery itself
yes.
to find out information. And again, one more promo for you on the 8th and 9th of May.
Yep.
You're going to have your annual sale. We encourage everybody to show up for that.
Absolutely.
Stephen, I want to thank you for being on the show again today, as always. And
it's been fun, Ray.
And we'll talk about the estate sales another time, too, as well.
We've got lots to talk about.
Absolutely. So thank you, Stephen Etree of Stevens at Consignment Gallery, for bringing some excellent commentary to the show today. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate, Jane, and Phil back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing a fine program. Thank you for tuning in to the show today, and please know that I would love to help you with your own real estate issues, so call me at 989-8900. Please don't forget to help those who are less fortunate than us wherever they may be. So until next Sunday at noon right here at 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in